Welcome to our study on Know Your Bible. How important it is to know the Bible. It is the Word of God, and it is God's revelation to man concerning all things that we need to know during our life's journey from earth to heaven. Well, the Bible is composed of basically two sections called the Old Testament, from Genesis to Malachi, comprising 39 books. And then the New Testament, from Matthew to Revelation, comprising 27 books. All Scripture, the Apostle Paul tells us, is given by inspiration of God for the perfection of man. In other words, in studying the Word of God, we come to know God and come to know His ways. We come to know how He wants us to behave and walk during our earthly sojourn. Well, the Word of God begins with the book of Genesis, which means actually the book of beginnings. And it starts with creation's story. Now, this has come under attack by those who are termed evolutionists. They would have us believe there was a big bang and suddenly the earth and everything in it appeared. Well, I think that's a stretch of anybody's imagination. Somebody likened it to this. You have a scrap heap and somebody gives a big bang and you get a Boeing 747 appearing. Well, that is impossible. It's taken from Charles Darwin's random selectivity. And Darwin, who indeed reneged on his teaching when he was older, said, well, things just happen. Things just happen. Well, let's take Shakespeare, for example. To be or not to be. You know, just imagine, you know, that simple little phrase, to be or not to be? That is the question. Well, you throw on the table, for example, those letters, and are they going to come together in that phrase? Certainly not. Certainly not. No, evolution is unfortunately something that is embraced by people who do not want to have to give an account for their life before God. And so, for the 70-odd years, or however long God permits them to stay upon this earth, then there you are. At the end, they're going to get a big shock. They're going to appear before the Lord, Creator of the whole universe, to give an account of their life, and the one they declared did not exist, they will appear before him. It's very interesting. There have been all kinds of visions given of hell. And in one such vision, and I think it was John Bunyan who had it, he met in hell someone who wrote a book declaring God does not exist. And he asked a question to this man in the lowest parts of hell. He said, well, did you really believe what you wrote? And he said, you know, I could convince others, but myself I could never convince. No, there's no scientific basis whatsoever for evolution. And anybody with a sound mind would realize that there is an intelligence governing the whole of this universe. And indeed, as we look at the marvels, even of DNA, how indeed it is intelligently designed and doesn't come, you know, oh, huzzah. No, of course not. God is the Lord, Creator of the universe, filled with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And the Apostle Paul tells us that very creation reveals the nature of God His power, His glory, and His character. You know, it's a very ordered universe. And so when we come to the book of Genesis, we find these 6 days of creation whereby by God declared, let there be light, and there was light. And from that, there is a sequence of events where God spoke into existence this world. And then after 6 days, He created man and woman. And on the seventh day, God rested. And we are created for a seven-day cycle. In fact, the atheistic French revolutionists of the 18th century, they tried to deny the existence of God by bringing in a 10-day cycle. The result was people collapsed, animals collapsed. We are created for a seven-day cycle. Well, after 7 days, God planted a garden. He planted it eastward of Eden, and in that garden He put Adam and Eve. Adam was made in the likeness of God. And Adam is called the Son of God, for he was created by God. Eve, created from a rib out of the side of Adam. And when God brought woman to Adam, He declared, this is of my flesh and my blood. And they were one. And God called their name Adam, meaning that they were one. They were united in marriage. And then He planted them in the Garden of Eden, and He said, you can eat of all the fruit of all the trees, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And you say, well, why did God do that? Why did God put that test there? Well, God is holy. And Adam was created in a state of innocence. You see, holiness is innocence tried and tested, and it triumphs. And God is holy, and so He wanted to have fellowship with holiness. And so Adam and Eve were tested, and God permitted Satan to beguile Eve. She came out of the covering of Adam instead of going to Adam and saying, well, look, the serpent saying this, what do you say? And he was not deceived. And he would have said, no, you don't take of that fruit. If we take of that fruit, we die, and we shall not take of that fruit. But Eve did not come under the covering of Adam at that moment, and the result is she was beguiled by the serpent. She fell. She gave the fruit to Adam. Adam realized what was happening. And Adam so loved Eve that he wanted to be joined with Eve. So he partook of the fruit. Well, the result was God had to put them out of the garden, because in that garden there was a tree of life. And had they have taken of that fruit, they would have lived forever in their simple situation. Well, there came therefore two lines. Two sons, Cain and Abel. Cain, disobedient, knowing the will of God, yet disobeys, is rejected, and is offended because he's rejected, and he murders his brother Abel. Well, Cain is cast out. He wanders in the land of Nod. And another son is given, Seth. And therefore, you have two lines. Seth started to seek God, and from it came a godly line. Such notables as Enoch, who walked with God, pleased God, and God took him. And such people as Noah. And when God saw that the sons of God and the daughters of man, the two lines were mixed and producing such violence in the earth, he determined to destroy all flesh. But Noah found grace in the eyes of God, built an ark by faith to the saving of his household. And there we come into an entirely new dispensation. Life was shortened. Things were different. And then from Noah there came Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Ham was cursed because he looked upon his father's nakedness. And from Ham we get the chief of Ham, Egypt, and all the African nations and so forth. And we have Shem, and from Shem we have a very distinguished person by the name of Abraham. And then Japheth is a Gentile nations. Well, God met Abraham, and he gave Abraham many wonderful promises. He told Abraham to leave the Ur of the Chaldees and go to a nation that he knew not. And Abraham believed, and he came into the land which we now call Palestine. And there he sojourned. He had two sons, Isaac and Ishmael. Ishmael, you know, born after the flesh with Abraham's maid, or shall I say Sarah's maid, Hagar. And a result of that, you know, from Ishmael we have the whole of the Muslim nation. But from Isaac, who inherited the promises of Abraham, we have the godly seed. Isaac, you know, had two children, Jacob and Esau. Esau, who despised the things of God, and Jacob, who cherished them. And Jacob continued on in the things of God, and the result was that he had 12 sons. These 12 sons are, if I could say this, that which composes the nation of Israel even today. For Jacob walked with God, met God, had power with God, wrestled with God, determined not to let God go until God blessed him. And God said, "What is thy name?" "Jacob, a deceiver." But he said, "Your name shall be changed to Israel, a prince with God." And so, therefore, we are confronted with this fact. Isaac received the promises from Abraham. They were transferred to Jacob, who became Israel. And from Israel, you have the 12 tribes. Now then, there is a constant battle, you know, in spiritual things, whereby God is trying and testing, developing and manifesting his wisdom through the human race. And so, out of these 12, shall I say, sons of Israel, one is given dreams by God. His name is Joseph. And I think we've all heard of Joseph, haven't we? A remarkable fellow. The age of 17, he had dreams from God. And God gave him the dreams, saying, "You will rule over your father and mother. You'll rule over your brothers. And they will bow down to you." Well, 17 years of age, you can't keep something like that to yourself, so he shared it with his brothers, who didn't appreciate it. His father, however, kept it in his heart. Well, It caused envy and jealousy. Joseph was favored by his father, given a coat of many colors. And so one day, when the other brothers saw Joseph coming, they said, well, let's see what happens to all his dreams. And they put him in a pit. They put him in a pit. They intended to kill him, but the other brothers preserved him and sold him to the Ishmaelites, who were going down into Egypt. And here was this young boy brought down into Egypt, only 17, perhaps 18 years of age now, and he is sold as a slave. Well, God, of course, is watching over everything. He is sold into the house of Potiphar, who is the captain of Pharaoh's personal bodyguard. And he so pleases Potiphar that he rules it over all of Potiphar's house, because God is using this as a training period for Joseph, for he has far higher purposes in mind for this young boy. Well, he has to be tested in every area. And Potiphar's wife saw the beauty and handsomeness of this young boy and sought to seduce him. But Joseph fled from it and left his garment there. And Potiphar's wife accused Joseph of trying to molest her to her husband. And result was, he was put in prison. He was put in prison. And there we're told, the irons hurt him. It was no nice American prison. It was a filthy Egyptian one where people were in irons. And there he found favor. God gave him favor. God was with him even in that prison. But God was testing him. You know, now I made you a promise. Am I able to bring to pass this promise? Well, Joseph remembered those promises, had faith that even though he was in prison, God would still bring to pass all the things that he had shown him in those dreams. Well, God is moving. Now God is moving in high places, and God speaks to none other than Pharaoh, king of Egypt, gives him two dreams. Essentially, these dreams revolved around a time of great plenty, great plenty. And then they were to be followed by years of famine that would eat up the bounteous harvest of those 7 years. Well, Pharaoh looked around for someone to give the interpretation, found no one. And then in the prison with Joseph, there had been Pharaoh's butler and baker. They too had had dreams. And Joseph interpreted correctly their dreams. And essentially the baker would be slain, but the butler would be restored to his former position. And the butler was standing there as Pharaoh was declaring the dreams and saying, well, who can give the interpretation? And the butler turned to Pharaoh, his master, and said, well, when Pharaoh was angry with me and put me in prison, he said there was a young man who gave an interpretation of my dreams. And he went on to explain the dreams. And he said, they've come to pass. And so Pharaoh immediately said, bring that young man up that he might interpret my dream. Well, the result was, hastily, Joseph had his garments changed. He shaved, because the Egyptians are clean shaven, the Jews are not, and was brought into the presence of Pharaoh. Pharaoh declared the dreams. And he said, can you give the interpretation? And Joseph said, well, it's not in me, but God has given it to me. And he gave the explanation and he said, look, 7 years of great harvest are coming. They're going to be followed by 7 years of famine. He said, let Pharaoh appoint someone, an administrator, who will gather this abundant harvest so that during the time of famine, the people will be preserved. Pharaoh looked around at his courtiers and said, can we find a man so wise as this young man? And so he declared and appointed him as the administrator and second in Egypt to Pharaoh himself, gave him authority to look after the land of Egypt in this time of abundance. Well, the result was, you know, the abundance came. Joseph gave the commandment, the barns were built, and all the excess of the harvest was gathered in to these barns. There came then, of course, the time of famine. Now that famine was not just in the land of Egypt, but it was all around, in the nations all around. And it affected the land of Palestine, wherein Israel and the brothers of Joseph were living. They ran out of food. And so Israel sent his sons down into Egypt to buy food. When they came before Joseph, they, of course, did not recognize Joseph. Here was the second ruler of the land. And they, of course, did not recognize him. He spoke in the Egyptian language. And through an interpreter, he spoke to them, asked them who they were. And knowing who his brethren were, he ordered a series of tests. And in those tests, he put the money that they had given back into their sacks and then commanded his servants to run after them. Well, it's quite a long story, very interesting and very important, of course. But after these series of tests, Joseph revealed to his brothers who he was. They, having been put in prison for having supposedly taken this money and cup from him, were now confessing one to another, saying, well, this has come upon us because the way we treated our brother Joseph. Well, this was too much for Joseph, and so he wept and revealed himself to his brothers, asked about his father, Israel. And they said, is the old man still alive? They said, he is, and he is well. Then let him come down. And he sent the brethren back to bring his father down. And there, you see, as his father came, and as his brethren bowed before him, you see, there was the fulfillment of the dream that he had when he was 17 years ago. And this is something like, 22, 23 years later. And God had therefore prepared what he had said to Abraham so many years before, I'm bringing your seed down into a nation. And there they will remain some 400 years. But afterwards, I will bring them up out of that land. Well, Joseph's name was a name of renown. It was amazing. The whole of Egypt revered his name. In fact, children of Israel were at one time called the children of Joseph. He was such a remarkable person.
He cared for his brethren, introduced them to Pharaoh. Pharaoh commanded that they would have the best of the land of Egypt. Only 70 souls came down. But oh, they flourished in that land for a long period of time. They multiplied. They became a great nation. And all the time, God's plan and purpose is being worked out. They are nurtured by the Egyptians. They are blessed. And the Egyptians see that they are blessed. And their name is revered throughout the whole land of Egypt. And you would think, how come? What is the purpose here? When God had said to Abraham, I will give you a land that I will bring you into. And that land was the land of Palestine. And yet here, God has brought the children of Israel down into the land of Egypt. And there, he has prospered them. Well, the book of Exodus will tell us the reason why God did all this. And we're going to see the marvels of the wisdom of God when we turn to our next book, Exodus. But may you read Genesis and see the marvels of God's creation and how God brought about a people after severe judgment in the flood, a people that he was going to use to manifest his wisdom and his glory, the people of Israel. And we shall see more about them as we turn to the book of Exodus in our next session. God bless you.